We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she'll choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
The Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yesterday, we went over just one of the most well-known passages in the New Testament, Ephesians 2, 8 and following. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper here, and we're going to continue in the New Testament book of Ephesians. And so honored that you're listening, folks, later on in the show, as we always do. We'll have some calls and Bible questions. We would love for you to participate in that. But, Bert, are you enjoying Ephesians?
Oh, listen, Ephesians is the first three chapters. I'm not sure you get any deeper for the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. What he did for us is beyond description. And then when you come to the last three chapters, I'm not sure you get any more practical in the Christian life. So Ephesians is full of what we need as believers. If you want to study a book that will help you to know who you are in Christ, and then, okay, how does that work in my life now? Study the book of Ephesians. And Alex, again, verses 8 and 9, tell me, by grace through faith. Now, it's not through grace and by grace. The words are very important, by grace. Let me ask you something. Does it always start with God's grace?
Well, it always does. The Bible says salvation is of the Lord. And we have to, you know, respond to the gospel. We have to open our heart and put our faith in Jesus. But really, that's why we always say this, folks. If you're feeling led to get right with God, you're thinking about your soul, and you're thinking about, do I have Jesus Christ in my life? Well, that's not the world, the flesh, or the devil. It's the Lord drawing you. And so by God's grace, turn to him when you're cognizant of the fact that you need Christ. Well, let me read on here. And, you know, it goes on, and verse 10 talks about we are his workmanship. And I'm sure people have heard the word there is a Greek word that is the variation of the word poem. And Bert, let me just say this. Isn't it true that every born-again believer really has a story?
Amen. The
story of how you heard about Jesus, you came to Jesus, and just as a beautiful poem, a beautiful piece of writing, every life changed by Jesus is a beautiful creation. And it says we are his, literally, his poem. Your story is being written by Christ, if you'll let him. Created in Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Bert, people say, how do I know God has a plan for my life? Well, Ephesians 2:10. God has ordained that you would have this journey with Jesus, and it's as close by as a prayer.
Amen. We are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. We are his poem. All of those fit together. And it is for good works. Now, what this is amazing. What we find out in verse 9, not by works and not of works, but salvation that does work. We are his workmanship unto what? Good works. Alex, you can have the works of the flesh. You can have the works of the spirit. These works are real. The works of the law. The only one that saves is the works of grace, God's work in our life. And when we get to heaven, it says, lest anyone should boast. Okay, does that mean we can boast down here and up in heaven? No, it means we have nothing to boast of. Down here, are up there. It is by grace that you're saved, and you're saved unto these good works. And I think it was John Calvin that first talked about this. Faith, and it takes from the book of James, faith without works is dead, being alone. Our faith, we're not saved by works, but the faith that we have does show forth good works. And Alex, the Bible says they will see your good works and glorify the Father who's in heaven. And so it is assumed that believers will be those people that show the work of grace into their life. And so here it is, which God prepared before that we should walk in them. Listen, he's put us on the right course. He's put us in the right direction. Now we just need to live up to what he's called us to do, don't we?
We should. You know, I was thinking about the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6:10. You know, it says, on earth as it is in heaven. Well, if there's no boasting in heaven, there shouldn't be any here on earth, you know?
Amen. That's good, Alex.
If we are to worship and glorify our Savior in heaven, we should do it here on earth as well. But it goes on in 11 and following, you know, one of the powerful realities of the church, if we'll let it, is unity, that we are all on the same page as grateful, obedient to the Lord Jesus. And it goes on and it says, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. So here's the thing. There's the nation of Israel, but Galatians 6:16 really tells us about, you know, the Israel of God. And a non-Jew really becomes Jewish by a relationship with Messiah. And a Gentile, which is really kind of a New Testament, well, both Testaments, Gentile is a euphemism really for one who did not know the true and living God and was not part of the salvation covenant. And you were, like verse 12, an alien. I know nowadays to call somebody an illegal alien, that's not politically correct. But there are a lot of people that are spiritual aliens, and they don't know the Lord. But here's the thing. When you put your faith in Jesus, the one who fulfilled all the prophecies, the one who fulfilled the complete law of God, the one who fulfilled all righteousness, you trust Jesus. Your sins are washed away. You are made a member of the covenant family in relationship with the true and living God. You are circumcised of heart, in other words, made right. I'm just going to say it. Your heart and soul is made kosher in the eyes of God, really.
Amen.
And one last thing, and I'll throw it back to you. And look, I love the Jewish people. I love the nation of Israel. I'm very, very, very pro-Israel. But I have a lot of born-again Jewish friends, like Dr. Michael Brown, Lance Wallnau. I have Jewish friends that I'm praying for them to get saved. But I will tell you, whoever you are, if you believe in Jesus the Messiah, you're more Jewish than a Jewish person that doesn't believe in Jesus Messiah. You know what I'm saying, Bert?
You're exactly right. And that's where he turns this. It's amazing. In the first few verses, 1, 2, and 3, everybody's in that boat. We're sinners. We once walked according to the course of this world. That's the Jew. That is the Gentile. We all walk that. But now in verse 11, he turns and talks about the reconciliation that as Gentiles, we came in and with that same relationship that we can have with God that a Jewish person has with God when they've trusted Christ. There's no difference. I have that relationship in Christ as a Jewish believer has that relationship in Christ, and it's in him. Now, remember, I couldn't help but notice verse 11, the first two words, Alex, therefore, remember. I could not help but think about, especially in the book of Revelation, in the seven letters that was written to the seven churches, many times it would say, remember. Remember from whence you're calling. Remember what you had. Remember. One of the greatest things we as followers of Christ can do is remember from where he's brought us from and where we could be. There's a song written concerning that. Remember where he's brought me from. And I know, even I was 12, you were 21. We've shared our testimony before. But the grace of God for a 12-year-old, the grace of God for a 21-year-old, and probably the oldest person that I've led to the Lord and baptized was an 86-year-old. And wow. Guess what? Same grace. Same yes. grace. And so remember that. No matter where you are today, Gentile or Jew, you're listening. Incarcerated, or if you're free, a truck driver, a farmer, they're plowing the fields right now. Wherever you are, a teacher going home, a wife who is at home listening, has the radio on, the grace of God has appeared to all men, and that grace can save you. And I believe with all my heart, that's what Paul is getting to here in chapter 2, verse 11, Alex, that this grace, he's just got through talking about it, right? And he is saying it is available to who? To all. Not just a few, but all. That's good news.
Well, it is. It is. Whosoever will may come. And Bert, you know, it's been my joy to lead some people to Christ that were, you know, up in years. And I've had a couple, usually men, they'll say, well, I've waited too long. It's too late for me. No, no. Look, God is above and beyond time. Now, God interacts in this world. But let me say, maybe you've procrastinated for years. Maybe you've really avoided thinking about Jesus for decades. But if you're in the land of the living, it is not too late for you. God does love you. God's love for you is not diminished by the time that you've wasted and held him at arm's length. And so I just want to say to anybody listening, you know, you might be 5 or 95. But if you're hearing this and you think, you know, I need to make sure that I'm saved, call out to Jesus today. I promise you, on the authority of God's word, it is not too late for you if you will turn to Christ.
Amen, Alex. Now we come to verse 13, and I want to read it and then compare it to verse 1. You see the progression of Paul's writing in this. Notice what he says, verse 13. But now, these people, Jew, Gentile, in Christ Jesus, you have once were far off, have been made near by the blood of Christ. Now listen, if you would, in chapter 2, verse 1, and you he made alive. Listen, it is him. You've been brought near. You've been made alive. You were dead, but now you were far away from God. Now you're near to God, and it's by what? The blood of Christ, not the blood of goats, not the blood of bulls or sheep. It is the blood of Christ. Now, why would I bring that up? Because he's been talking about the Jewish people, and the Jewish people had been doing this for years and years and years at a sacrifice. But now, bringing these Gentiles in, Alex, it is the blood of Christ. And yes, it is the same blood. His blood washes away all sin. What shall wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Christ. And through that blood, Alex, we're brought alive and near to God. We're not just alive, but we're close to him. What a joy it is, isn't it?
The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, the vile as him, wash all my sins away.
Amen.
Hey, we're going to come back right after this, more of Ephesians 2, your phone calls and questions on Exploring the Word.
Meet Kelsey. When she found out she was pregnant, she wasn't sure where to turn. After meeting with the counselors at Preborn Network Clinic, who loved and supported her, and after hearing the baby's heartbeat on a free ultrasound, she chose life.
When a mother looks at her child through a sonogram, it does something to you. You know, I ended up deciding to keep my son, who is now 5 years old today. He's amazing. He brings absolute joy to my heart. I could not imagine life without him. Not only did they help me save his life, they saved my life.
By introducing a woman to her baby on ultrasound, a baby's chances at life doubles. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com/Bert Harper.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back. I knew you are near. I will fear no evil.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert and Alex with you. And our producer is Brent Austin, and he helps with Facebook and so many other things. It makes Exploring the Word bigger than just the hour that we're on. And Brent, I heard you got a phone call earlier today. Would you mind telling us about that?
Not at all. About, what was it, 6 weeks ago, you guys remember, we had a gentleman call in. He was about to be evicted from his apartment. He lived along with his cats. And we had, I believe it was a prayer show, if I'm not mistaken. And so he called in asking for prayer, right? And so we had a lady call in from about four states over, and she's like, I want to help him. This guy's a vet. He's about to lose his apartment. His rent's about to go up. He's like almost 80 years old. And so she wanted to help. So I got them in contact with each other after the show one day. 6 weeks later, he called me as soon as I walked in my office this morning, and I saw my phone ring up, my cell phone. I had kept him on my phone so I'd know who he was, you know, kind of if I needed to call him or he wanted to call me. He said, hey, I've talked to the lady. I'm about to move in a brand new apartment. Everything's good. God is great.
He got his cats?
He's got his cats.
Amen. Alex, I wanted our listeners to do that. I remember we prayed, God, you do something. And God used one of other of our listeners to help him. And we do know their names, but we didn't want to call them out on the radio.
They're both regular listeners.
They listen all the time.
She and her husband are supporters of AFA.
So, Amen. The ministry of Exploring the Word is bigger than just a radio. It gets into people's minds and hearts. And Alex, I would say that shows we're his workmanship unto good works. I thought that was an example of that.
Amen. Amen. You know, just before the show, I was on the phone with Jerry Drace, Dr. Jerry Drace, and his wife Becky, just great people. And they are heard on the weekends on AFR, aren't they?
Yes, they are.
And probably through the week as well. And, you know, we were just on the phone a couple minutes talking about how good God is, how God always comes through. And we pray. And, you know, the deep valleys, they draw us closer to Christ. And we learn things about the faithfulness of God that we might not have learned any other way. And so, isn't it a blessing not only to celebrate the victories of the Lord, but to share it with brothers and sisters that, you know, the friendships in Christ span the decades? And, folks, that's why we say there's a lot of perks, there's a lot of blessings to being saved.
Amen.
Going to heaven. Knowing that you're right with God. But I want to tell you, if you're considering whether or not to really give yourself to Jesus, one of the greatest things, you just have to trust me on this, but you'll find out, one of the greatest realities of being saved is to be a part of this great, big, wonderful family called the body of Christ.
Amen, Alex. This morning, here on AFR, Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson was on, and the last two mornings he's been interviewing your friend, and I've met her as well, Johnny Erickson Tata.
Oh, yeah.
And she was talking about pain, and she is talking about what do you do with pain, and it is difficult. I know C.S. Lewis talked about that. And pain, if you're a believer and you're in pain, it can be physical pain. Yes, it can be emotional pain. Draw near to God. And that's exactly what he says in verse 13. He's near. He's close by. He stays closer than a brother. That's who our Savior is. And when we are used of God to minister to others that are part of the family of God, or even minister to people who are not, but we're doing it because of the love we have for the Lord, I want to tell you, it does the work that God wants us to do. So we're doing that, and here I wanted you to hear that from Brent. He was telling me about it, and I said, Brent, would you mind sharing that? He could do it better than I could, and thank you, Brent, again, for all you do. Alex, look at verse 14.
Oh, yes.
Okay, here it is. Now, we've been talking about all we have, for he himself is our peace, who has been made both one and has broken down the middle wall of division between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity. Listen, what a job he has done. Notice, now I want to point out some words, and then Alex, I want you to take it away. I cannot get over the words in verse 14, and this is how it is in Greek. He himself. There are certain jobs that only Christ could do. I want to illustrate that, and I'll throw it to you. We'll remember when Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. 4 days he had been dead. He told somebody else to roll the rock away. He told others to unwrap him. I love it where it says in the King James, loose him and let him go. Now, I want to just tell you, Jesus could have just pointed his finger at the rock and twisted it, and that rock would have gone flinging out of the way.
Yeah.
He could have looked at that. He was wrapped up, you know, in the burial clothes, and he could have just twisted his finger, and those things would have been falling off of him in no time flat. But he did only what he could do, but he let others participate in it and do what they could do. You understand, Alex, what I'm
getting?
Isn't
that something?
And that's what he does today, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and the most important work in history, which is the evangelization of the nations, making sure that lost people hear the way to be born again, he's entrusted that to us. I mean, could there be a more crucial, important work than the work of world missions? No. I mean, that trumps everything, is getting lost people saved, and yet he allows us to participate. I got to read, and my goodness, we could do a whole program on verse 14. All right, Jesus, it says, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself the twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." Now let me go back to verse 14. In the Jewish nation, of course, they would say, and they do today, shalom, peace, you know, Jerusalem, you know, Jerusalem, God is our peace. Okay, in verse 14, when it says Jesus is our peace, what that means literally in the Greek, it's he is the peace. In other words, when you wish a blessing on somebody, you know, you might say, well, hey, God bless you. Well, in the Jewish world, they really put significance in that, shalom. In other words, I am wishing for you the absolute best welfare, the peace of God, the comfort, the provision, the sustenance of Almighty God. every good thing, I wish that for you. That is my prayer for you. God's blessings in all things, right? Well, it says in verse 14, Jesus is that to you. Every good thing, every blessing in body, soul, and spirit, Jesus, yes, he is our peace, but really, he is the peace of the world. In fact, the Bible calls him the Prince of Peace. And the wall, the wording there in verse 14, the middle wall of partition, it literally means the fence that separated us. Bert, have you ever seen, like in the Billy Graham booklet, Steps to Peace with God?
Yes.
There's like a big chasm, like the Grand Canyon, and there's man trying to get to God. Money won't get you there. Good works won't get you there. Your assumed morality won't get you there. There is one bridge that can span that uncrossable chasm, and that is the cross of Christ. Isn't that something? The fence that divided us from God, which was sin and our fallenness, Jesus tore it down.
He did. Now notice again, you said it well, for he, and it is, he himself, the peace. Notice again, verse 15, have abolished in his flesh. This is only, he could only do that. Nobody else can do it. The peace that Alex has been talking about cannot be found anywhere else in the world. You can't work it up. You cannot purchase it. You cannot go to the highest mountain to talk to a wise man and him give you something that nobody else ever heard. No, it's only in Christ, and it's having abolished in his flesh the enmity. Notice verse 16, that he might reconcile them both. Alex, here in 13, 15, and 16, he did it. Nobody else could do it. And that's what I was trying to get at. Yes, we're his workmanship, but we can't save ourselves. We are to be light to the world as we let Christ's works be seen in us. But he is the light that shines through us. He is the one. And so that's what I think I love about Ephesians and Paul's writings. Here, you ever heard that word, make much of Jesus, you know?
Yes.
I would say Paul does it here because he himself is our peace. He himself is the one who paid the price in his flesh that brought down the enmity between us and God, and he himself reconciled us to him. Now, Alex, again, that's why we preach Christ Jesus. That's why we say there's no other way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by him. And listen, Christianity is not one of the world's, quote, religions. It is a relationship that works in us to bring us to God, to reconcile us right with God, to bring the peace that God is in our lives, and to pay the price that had to be paid in order for us to know him. And so he said this, and look at verse 17, I'll throw it back to you, and he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. Now here it is. He is, and you can have and be at peace with God. But when you're at peace with God, he brings in the peace of God. Peace with God means that middle wall or partition has been torn down, and as Alex was saying, that bridge, that gap has been bridged by the cross of Jesus Christ, and now we have that peace that passes all understanding. Alex, when I see that and I hear that, and I've been able to live that life now 50 years, okay?
Amen.
This year will mark the 50th year that, you know, that I've come to know. Well, wait a minute, 60th year. I'm sorry. I'm going to be married 50 years, but I've been saved 60 years. And
wow.
So.
Praise God.
Yes. And guess what? I have more peace today in God than I've ever had in my life. Now, that is the relationship. You remember that song that the Gaithers wrote? The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows.
Yes.
Alex, it is so true. To know him and the reality of who Christ is, it is peace with him, but he brings with him the peace that passes all understanding. It is what Paul does here is letting us know what we have when we come into relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. Well, and we hope you have that relationship, because it is life's most important decision to turn to Christ. And, you know, verse 16 concludes that God in Jesus has slain the enmity between us and God, the hostility, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. Listen, it doesn't matter if you're religious or moral, but if you're not born again, you might think you're nigh, but you're far off from God, but Jesus will bring you near into the family. Through him, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Bert, sometimes we'll speak at conferences and they'll put a badge around your neck that says, all access. You can go yeah. backstage and even on stage. We've done this for many of our speakers in our conferences, and it'll say, all access to the Father. That's Ephesians 2:18. And you do have access to Almighty God. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, because we're all in the same family, the family of the redeemed, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That's Ephesians 2:20. And Bert, that's one of the words that speaks of Jesus, not a way, not a stone, the stone, the stone. Chief cornerstone.
The stone the builders rejected has now become the chief cornerstone. Yes. Alex, that's him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but he was God's chief cornerstone, and he's built on it. Great word, yeah, brother.
Exactly. And you know, the great dream that in the book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar had this dream of a big statue that was shattered by a stone not cut with human hands. Jesus is that stone. In fact, in the big family and body of believers called the church, he is the chief cornerstone. He is that on which everything is built, not only the church, but reality itself. And Bert, even now, and this is biblical, when they build a building, it'll be very ceremonious that they'll set the cornerstone
you bet.
Of a building.
Amen.
Well, the cornerstone of reality and history itself is the Lord of Lords, the King Jesus.
Amen. That number, if you have a Bible question, is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840.
You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
And Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert here. So honored that you're listening. The number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. And we're going to go to phone calls and Bible questions. Bert, let me quickly mention, I've got a couple of great, great privileges this month. I'm going to be in Bentonville, Arkansas at Boundless Grace Church, May 17 through 19. Pastor Josh Ramsey, who is just a great friend and a great friend of this program, and I've been there a few times with the Bird Songs. Oh my goodness, one of the best praise teams ever. We've done, I don't know, 8 or 9 events with the Bird Songs over the years. They're out of the Knoxville, Tennessee area. I cannot overstate how good they are in setting the table for worship. Boundless Grace, May 17 through 19. I would love to see you there. And then I will be in Newton, North Carolina. Now, this is near Charlotte, May 25th and 26th. And that's Gateway Baptist Church in Newton, which is basically the greater Charlotte area. And we'll be doing kind of a biblical worldview weekend. And then June 7th through 9th, and I want to say this, and we'll get to calls, but Rose Heights Church in Lindell, Texas. Now, this is a Truth for a New Generation conference, and there'll be apologetics, biblical worldview, Q&A, June 7th through 9th. And also my friend Carl Kirby, who's just one of the greatest speakers in the world. He was one of the co-founders of Answers in Genesis with Ken Ham, and great speaker. So you can go to my website, which is alexmcfarland.com, and these and other events around the country. I'd love to see you when we come to your town. Bert, do you have any travels coming up?
Well, I'm just going to finish up my ministry at Fredonia Baptist Church. They got a pastor who is coming, and I'll see what God has. I got some things lined up. I'm excited about them as well. But as I said earlier, a big thing coming up is mine and Jan's 50th wedding anniversary. We're going to celebrate that. I'll get Brent to put some pictures on Facebook to let them know, hey, it's worth it. It's worth marriage is worth it. And praise God for that. But let's Amen. Go to the phone lines. Brother, where to first?
Louisiana. Leslie in Louisiana. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi.
So hello.
Hi. I know that you all will know the answer to this question. So I was wondering if you could explain to me what the Church of the Nazarene is, about that mm-hmm. denomination. I don't know anything about it, but I thought mm-hmm. you all would. Somebody had recommended this church here in New Orleans. We've really struggled to find a really good church here. And I was just wondering if you could tell me about it, because I've never heard of it before.
Okay, Leslie, thank you. Let me just tell you, one of the greatest heroes, Christian heroes, that I know, his dad was a pastor in the Church of the Nazarene. He was saved there, grew up there, trained there. His name is Dr. James Dobson. Alex, Amen. I think you knew that. And
yes.
But great, great. And listen, the ones that I know and the pastors that I know in the Church of the Nazarene, again, you never know about individuals sometimes, individual churches. But what I know is good. Alex, what about you?
Yeah, you know, as far as I know, they are wonderful. I worked for James Dobson and worked very closely with his cousin, H.B. London, who was, you know, a major leader in the Nazarene denomination. And, you know, their doctrinal statement, they really come in from what we call the Wesleyan
right.
tradition. And I think they're great, you know. Now, every church individually, let me just say this, and Bert, I would say this of any denomination. While the Nazarene Church, everything I've known has been just very, very biblical and godly, I would say nowadays, and again, I would say this of any church, look at the individual church, and I would, if I were pondering joining a church, you know, just respectfully, but this is serious, ask the pastor, you know, eyeball to eyeball, do you believe what the Bible says about marriage, sexuality, morals, gender, creation, salvation through Christ alone? Because if we invest our time and resources and become a part of a church, we want to make sure they believe the Bible. So Bert, I believe in having a conversation with the pastor before joining a church.
I agree. Let me put it into this matter. What you want to do is creation and redemption. This is what the Bible's about. The Bible's about creation, man's fall, and man's redemption. You got to be right on creation, and that's the marriage. That's the identity of male and female. And then it goes into the church, the redemption that Christ died, and it is through him that we're saved. And the Bible tells us that story truthfully. And so that's the reason, Leslie, what Alex said in those questions, every one of them, come from a biblical base from that creation and redemption. Go ahead, Alex.
Where do next? Randall in North Carolina. Thanks for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello. I would like prayer for North Carolina and the development of the Christian faith.
Amen. Okay. Well, Alex, that's an investment for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll tell you, North Carolina, there's a lot of rich Christian history here, but North Carolina, we have got areas that have been very influential, and yes, North Carolina needs prayer and a great turning to Christ. I'll say this, Bert, we're in what they used to call the Bible Belt, but it's not as conservative and biblical as it once was.
Yeah, what's happening at North Carolina University there is really going on at Chapel Hill, and the president and the faculty is trying to say, hey, we support those anti-Jewish marches, and the president or whatever and dean's coming down and saying, trying to help out with that and make it right. So we're praying not yes. only for the University of North Carolina, but Randall, praying for a Christian faith growth. And I would say
it's a struggle, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think that's true not just in North Carolina, but I think it's so true in North Carolina, Alex, because, quote, and I this is politically, but it also demonstrates spiritually what's going on. It's a swing state now. Used to not be. And the influences that you're talking about are real. So we are praying that the churches will stand strong, preach the good news of Jesus Christ and God's plan for man in marriage and in his purpose.
Mm. Tyrone in Oklahoma. Tyrone, you're on Exploring the Word.
Well, thank you, sir. I just have a problem. I was thinking about resigning from my church. My pastor seemed to have an issue with bringing up racial issues, and the last time we discussed it was about Esau and Jacob, and he said that Esau was white because he was red and all of this stuff. He's always trying to bring up division. And I brought up that they were twins, the same mother in the same womb. Then one of the parents had to be white, and one of them turned out to be white. And I say that, and then Esau had what you call hypertrichosis, which makes him a hairy body. There are people in, you know, the fair, the Greek throat that have that issue. But we argued about that, and he demanded that I say that I was wrong.
Okay. Mm. Alex, you got that? Understand?
Yeah, let me say this, Tyrone. Thank you for calling in. All right, since really the 1950s, there has been in some circles what's been called really liberation theology that is very often people's reading of Scripture is, I think, unfortunately skewed by racial issues. You know, Bert, there has been, and this goes back 100 years, there's been a Bible that was read in terms of socialism and Marxism, Bible that's been read in terms of New Age and spiritualism, and there's been Bible that's been read in terms of racism. No, Esau was not white or Caucasian, but I'll tell you, Tyrone, this gets down to really critical theory. I've got a book in my hand right now by a godly man, a PhD from Berkeley, who's a devout Christian, Dr. Neil Shinvey. It's called Critical Dilemma. And folks, this is worth taking a moment to talk about. Listen to this. Critical theory reduces everything to basically race, the oppressed or the oppressor. And what's so sad is, whether it be Jacob versus Esau or Isaac versus Ishmael or you know, Satan versus God. It's not about race. It's not about oppressed and oppressor. It's about salvation versus lostness. It's about sin versus righteousness. So with all due respect, and I would love to talk to this gentleman, but what he's telling me, by believing that Esau was white, he at the very least has been influenced by something called British Israelism that has been refuted time and again, but probably more liberation theology that also has been refuted time and again. And I don't know, brother, I think you do it in love, but you might need to pray about where you invest your time and resources in worship.
Amen.
Bert,
I agree.
You correct me if I'm wrong, Bert.
No, I agree. What you want to do, if I appreciate you understanding more, the idea of this is real, and it is taking hold, and it is part of wokeness. Let me just share that with you. And you find that, and guess what? It usually doesn't stop there, Alex. It goes into what salvation is and everything. So, Tyrone, your concern is legitimate. We'll be praying. Make the right decision.
Betty in North Carolina. Betty, thanks for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, I'm so glad to be able to talk to you in person. North Carolina, transplant from Ohio, but I love North Carolina.
Amen. And, amen.
I wanted to thank both of you for all you do. I know that our thanks are just kind of in the air, but it comes from all of our hearts. You know that. And I have a wonderful pastor and a wonderful church, but he's been church hurt recently by some of our very own members complaining about the little things like the fox and the grapes. And I was thrilled to know that they accepted my invitation to come to Bert and Jan's fishbowl retreat. So I wanted to acknowledge that to Bert and be on the lookout for Dennis and Gail because they need some loving.
Amen. Betty, thank you. Listen, there's an article in the Stand magazine for this month going out where Jan was interviewed about the pastor's wife and the difficulties of that in the fishbowl retreat. It is real. Alex has been a part of it. Alex, you know that. We want to teach the word. We do that, but we want to love on those pastors and their wives to let them know they are not alone. And so, Betty, thank you. We're going to be praying. Mm-hmm. Father, I pray for Betty. Thank you for her love and her pastor. She's already tripped that in my heart and my life, Father, and I pray you'd bless her and bless this pastor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen. Wonderful. Texas is where we'll speak with Raul. Raul, welcome to the program.
Thank you. I got a question on 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 5. I'm not clear on the speaking in tongues. Is it a language, an earthly language, or is it a godly language? Can you answer that, please?
Okay. Listen, in the book of Acts, it is a language, Alex, you know? But in the book of Corinthians, there seems to be some, I would say, differential of that. Have you been taught that, or you look at that and see that as well?
Yeah, and, you know, I would encourage you to read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 kind of together. And Bert, I'm going to say this. If there's ever any subject that I think the church needs to be really up to speed on nowadays, it's spiritual gifts. And in fact, Bert and I are going to record later this week. And one of the things that I've got in this outline that we're going to record is the need to know your spiritual gift and use it in the service of the Lord. And I'll just say this. It does say that there is the gift of tongues. And I realize this is something that equally good, godly people disagree over. And Bert, in the book of Acts, you're absolutely right. It is 16 known languages that I believe were given to preach the gospel. And then you've got there in 1 Corinthians 12, 10, it says diverse kinds of tongues and the interpretation of the tongues. So, Bert, with 1 minute to go, I don't know that we can fully unpack this, but let me just say this. I think we need to show love and grace, even where from one tradition there's disagreement over what the spiritual gifts are, including tongues, and then in another tradition, another thing. Chapter 14 talks about speaking in an unknown tongue, not unto men, but unto God. I remember one time I was watching Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell, and these two men disagreed, but they had the most loving discourse on television about it. Dr. Falwell was a Baptist. Pat Robertson had been a Baptist but became more Pentecostal. Bert, 1 Corinthians 13 tells us we got to, for other believers, in love, don't we?
We really do. Do not make that division in loving your brother and your sister. It may affect where you attend church. I understand that. But don't make it the issue that it has been in the past. Let's love one another. I'm going to say it, Alex, and you need to take us out. There's bigger fish to fry these days in 2024.
Amen. Well, this has been Exploring the Word. Bert Harper, Alex McFarland, Brent Austin, Jeff McIntosh, and the crew helping us on the American Family Radio Network, and you, the listeners. We sincerely thank you for listening. Hope you'll tune in tomorrow with more of Exploring the Word.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
We'd like to thank Preborn. Preborn has rescued over 200,000 babies from abortion, and every day their network clinics rescue 200 babies. Will you join Preborn in loving and supporting young moms in crisis? Save a life today. Go to preborn.com.